Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
What is up, everyone? This is your friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined as usual with David the Lawyer Ungar, welcoming you into another edition of Hockey Talk here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, a part of the ChairShot.com. We remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we have a streak. A Tuesday streak running, Dave, of shows going out. We're doing pretty well. Look at us go.
Two in a row, baby.
So,
and,
funny story.
And on top of it, Spotify has not taken this down for us using anything copywritten at the beginning of this. So, suck it, Spotify.
Oh, well, see, that's a bandwagon nerds joke. That's a bandwagon nerds joke. So, you know, I just saved that for bandwagon. I had a mild panic attack. I'm gonna go off subject. Off hockey for a minute. So I'm going to see a concert. We're recording here on Sunday. I'm going to go see Dropkick Murphys this evening with my friend Matt. The great thing about living in Massachusetts is when I could not get to the mute button in time to save that. The great thing about living in Massachusetts and Dropkick being from Boston is that, boy howdy, do we get a lot of concerts. I sneezed again. I got the mute button in time that time.
Good job, buddy.
Because I never sneeze like once. I'm always a sneeze in tandem sort of dude. So I'm excited. To go see. I've never seen Dropkick. I like their music, but I'm not what you would call like a big like sign me up for the Dropkick Murphys fan. So looking for a fun time on a Sunday. We turn the clocks back today. I'm about to sneeze for a third time.
Wait.
Hold on.
Next week we turn the clocks back, right? It's not today.
Is it not today?
I think it's next.
Hold on. Wait a second. I swear I saw something that said the daylight.
Yeah, November 3rd. You got a week.
Oh, damn. I really could use the extra hour today, though. Why did something have... I saw something up about today, though. Weird. I also love that this is the annual, like, why do we have daylight saving time? We do because it's stupid and outdated. That's why.
Unless you're Greg DeMarco.
Yes, unless you're Greg DeMarco. Well, but it does put... I'm glad that now when we record the show for the DeMarco show that we recorded earlier in the evening than we used to, because when the time changes, when we spring forward and I'm recording at 10 o'clock, hoping we finish at 11, that's rough. But so rough weekend for me as a sports fan in general. My beloved Fighting Illini, after winning a big game against Michigan, and becoming bowl eligible at home last week, got boat raced by the Oregon Ducks. That team is legit and for real. But Illinois posed no resistance to arguably the best team in the country. And that's not good. That's not good.
Hey.
And now my basketball team is currently getting boat raced in an exhibition game against Ole Miss.
And I love you, bro, but I hope your weekend gets worse. I'm just sorry.
Yeah, you know... For those who know, if you've listened to Dave and I long enough, I'm a Bears fan, of course. Dave's a Washington Commanders fan. And what I've found really funny about my Bear faithful is The Bears went on this little like winning surge and got a little full of themselves when talking about their, because we beat a couple of scrubs. Like we beat the Carolina Panthers. We beat Jacksonville.
But we beat them too. So.
And all of a sudden Bears fans are like, division title, division title. And
I'm just going to throw this out here. No matter how good you got, no matter what happens, so anyway, today, you are not beating the Detroit Lions once or twice for that matter.
No, we're not. We're terrible. Here's my favorite stat is Illinois is losing 62-42 in an exhibition game to Ole Miss. Points off of turnovers. Ole Miss, 15. Illinois, 5. We're not good. Well, it's not that we're not good. They're young and inexperienced, and they have a lot to learn. So, but enough of that. Let's talk. It is a hockey program, right? And I am going to mute myself for a second and go blow my stinking nose. And let you start on the week that was. I just don't want you to talk about the 8-0 Winnipeg Jets until I come back.
Okay.
Can you do that for me? Can you hold off on not talking? Some teams have come back down to earth. We can stop talking about the Utah Hockey Club.
Yeah, they're kind of dwindling a little bit. I'll take the low hanging fruit. Talk about my boys. You know.
All right, you go ahead and talk about your Caps. I'll be right back.
Yeah, the Caps have been, they've been doing pretty well. They went on a 5-game winning streak. Watched them quite a bit this week. They came back down to earth with a 3-0 loss to Tampa Bay, where they played well, though. I mean, they put up 31 shots on goal. They just ran into Andrei Vasilevskiy, played out of his damn mind, especially in the second period. There are a couple plays that, a couple goals that just flat out got robbed. And Tampa did enough to win, but Tampa doesn't seem to really show a whole lot of slowing down, even though they don't have Steven Stamkos. So, yeah, I thought, the Caps looked good winning a home and home against Philadelphia, a team that they should beat, and they did. And they seem to be – what I like about them is I still think there's some problems on the blue line with them. It's getting better. Offensively, they're formidable, and I did not expect that early on in the season. And it's interesting, they're not running through Ovechkin anymore. He got a empty netter the other night, which was cool. So now he's, I think, 50 from breaking the record, that sort of thing. So he looked good. They look pretty good. I like the goaltending tandem. They're going to be in the thick of things. But I see the Rangers. Florida's got everybody's number right now, don't they? I mean, they're just beating everybody. I think you're muted, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think it was hilarious. Like they came out the gate like 1-1, 2-2 or something like that. And the Florida faithful were just like, oh, what's wrong with this team? Nothing's wrong with this. By the way, you can live without Stamkos when Nikita Kucherov has 8 goals.
Yeah. When you got Kucherov playing like he is, Vasilevskiy playing like he is, everybody else picking up the slack, Braden Point, all these other guys who were, yeah, Tampa Bay is not going anywhere anytime soon. The problem is they're in the division with Florida, and they're not going anywhere anytime soon. But a team that we did write off, I was going to ask you, Pat, we had written them off early in the season. Now, suddenly, they've climbed into third place. Our favorite also-rans, the Buffalo Sabres, are back to .500, Pat. The drought is going
to
end. Well, right?
Yeah, but no, it's not. Okay. You're back to .500. What do you fucking do? The Blues are 1 game over .500. And do I think the Blues are anything special? No, they're going to be fine. We know that at this point in the season, it's all just sort of a wash. Do we really think just to take this, further, do we think the Bruins are going to stay at 5th in the Atlantic behind said Buffalo Sabres and Toronto? Oh, do we have any faith in Toronto? Do we remember last year when the Red Wings were a fun story? And right now they're down there at the bottom. The Canadians are a disaster right now. I don't think that those teams are going to stay. I think Detroit might stay down. I don't have any faith in Toronto, but Buffalo's got to show a little bit more than a 4-4-1 run in their last 10. Yes, they've won 3 in a row. Good for them. But that 4-4-1 is, their whole season so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's still so early. I mean, you're talking, we're not even,
right.
I mean, a couple teams have played 10 games. So, okay, we're not even,
right.
we're not even
the aforementioned Florida Panthers have played 10 games.
Right, so we're not even a quarter of the
has
way
played
through.
11. Yeah.
The Pens, yeah. Man. But, Pittsburgh, yeah. 10 games in. See, now they're a team at 3-6-1.
That you hate to see it.
Oh, yeah, it's just breaking my heart. I mean, if Edmonton could play Pittsburgh every game, they'd go 82-0 because Pittsburgh can't beat it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was like, well, here's the thing is right now in Pittsburgh, where Sidney Crosby in his prime, Mario Lemieux in his prime aren't walking through that door. Yarmor Yager played till he was like 60, I swear retired, to God, right? And was like effective.
Just retired this
year. Yeah, he was like still effective. Like, I remember being in college 20 years ago and being like, damn, Yager's, man, he's good.
And from a cap standpoint, when we made that trade for him and you really thought, this is the guy who's going to lead us to the promised land, and it just never came close to that. Yeah, Yager's a hell of a player. I mean, in Pittsburgh, he was devastating. Later on,
there's a reason he's in the Hall of Fame.
Well, he played, like you're saying, he played with Lemieux. You know, that line of Lemieux and Yager was just soul-crushing if you were the opposition. So, yeah. But, yeah, Pittsburgh's got no horses left. I mean, unlike the Caps brought up a lot of young guys and kind of got forced into things because of injuries. In Pittsburgh, I haven't seen a lot of that yet. I mean, it could still happen. It's still very early. But, and honestly, man, the Flyers, although we beat them twice, that team's got a lot of moxie. And you saw that in those games, especially they're down 4-0 the other night and they came back and got it to within a goal. And so there's some fight in that team. That's a trademark of Tortorella. They kind of like remind me of the Devils when the Devils were first starting to get better. But I know you don't want to talk about the Eastern Conference.
No. We're in the first half of the show. We'll talk about the Eastern Conference. We'll talk about, you know, the Rangers.
Yeah, the Rangers
sitting pretty solid.
They did. Florida handled them a little bit the other night, which is, you know, like we're saying, the Panthers are the defending champs. And if you think they're going to go gently into that good night, you are sadly mistaken. They will not. They've got a real good shot at repeating this year, I think. Tampa, you know, like we said, I agree with you. Boston's not going to stay languishing, I don't think.
You
know, we've seen it where teams get old overnight sort of thing. And Boston.
Well, and we've been talking about. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was saying Boston, I don't think that's going to happen to them. But there is the risk of that. That's an older team with some, you know, a veteran team that in theory, it could happen where they just age rapidly and they fall off. I don't see that really happening. And their goaltending's way too good for that to be a problem. But yeah, they'll make a move. Toronto is Toronto, like you said. Toronto's Toronto. And until they prove anything otherwise, then there'll always be the Maple Leafs, you know. So
even when they make the playoffs, we know they're gonna shit the bed in the end. So I don't have anything. But yeah, what's wrong with the Canadiens other than everything?
I mean, they're just, I don't like the balance on that team. I mean, the goaltendings, I think they beat somebody the other night. They played somebody pretty well the other night. I mean, relatively speaking, you look at the Atlantic and it's like, well, 13 points in first and Montreal's dead last.
You know who they beat? Let me tell you who they beat. The St. Louis fucking Blues.
Oh, sorry.
That's man. Who they beat. So sorry, thanks, pal. Thanks.
I knew I was watching. Thanks. Like, they're beating somebody, but I don't remember who it was. The Canadiens are just a team who's kind of, I mean, they need to be better. I mean, it's like the New York Yankees. They're the Yankees of hockey. I mean, that's a team and a franchise that needs to be better. And they're not. I don't know what to tell you about them other than.
Yeah. Why is their roster? Their roster is really underperforming. Just, it seems strange to me that, I don't know. You hate to see. I hate to see. Granted, it's not the Oilers. I'm not saying that they're like all stars, but they shouldn't be 3-4.
Well, Suzuki is
3-4-1.
And all, you know,
right?
All
but the,
and I do like their goaltender, but yeah, you know, when you don't have much on the blue line and you can't score, that's gonna be problems. Like speaking of teams that can't score, the Islanders. There's a team that really has been struggling to put the puck in the net. They finally got something.
That was
going.
That was a team a lot of people loved too.
Yeah. So they're off to kind of a
at least you know early start. In the season. Right. So, all right. We're going to take our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about the West. I can lament about the Blues. I'll tell you, I'm going to give you folks, when you come back, I'm going to talk to you about why I get sad about my St. Louis Blues. It's a story you've heard for the last three seasons, basically since they won the Stanley Cup. You're going to hear it all again when we come back. You're listening to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network. Part of thechairshot.com.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore. Everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar, here to talk all things hockey. Also, remember, if you love what we do here on thechairshot.com, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and invest in a chair shot shirt design. Get it soft style, spend a few dollars more, it'll feel good on your giblets. Dave, we're going to talk about the Western Conference. And let me tell you why I get sad when I think about the Blues. It's because when I do things like head over to NHL.com and I look at league leaders, do you know who's currently tied for third in goals at the NHL?
Jordan Kyrou.
Not correct, because Jordan Kyrou plays for Ivan Barbashev. Ivan Barbashev plays for the Vegas Golden Knights. You know where he played before let go because of, quote, payroll management?
I will guess that it's the St. Louis Blues.
The St. Louis Blues. We give everybody to fucking that. Not just Vegas, but like we get, like, it kills me when I go through all the talent that the Blues give up and have given up over the last 4 to 5 whatever years now, and that it's former Blue Notes, and you know, whether it's this year it's Ivan Barbashev, the name's eluding me. Last year there was somebody who was just always tearing it up for Vegas, and it made me sad.
What, there's Tarasenko always, there's
Tarasenko, yep. Well, Tarasenko, here's the thing.
Petrangelo,
yeah. Alex Petrangelo, that was the one I really hated to see go. And so when I sit here and I look at, you know, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, who are in first place in the Pacific with 13 points, 6-2 with a overtime game. And I look at my Blues, who are 5-4. I have questions. I have questions as to why our budget and payroll was so bad. And I know this is not a St. Louis Blues podcast. I promise I'll get off of it. But I question how you couldn't figure out a way to make shit work to keep the talent that was young talent that had years in front of them, but you didn't want to pay them, so you didn't. And you chose to be a middling hockey club as opposed to falling victim to attrition or injury or other things. Like, I'm not a GM. I'm not Doug Armstrong. I'm glad that there's a replacement plan that's basically going to keep the status quo. Does the St. Louis Blues seem to be happy? This is my problem with St. Louis franchises in general. They enjoy living on the backs of the fandom not quitting on mediocrity. It finally is starting to bite baseball in the ass. It needs to start biting hockey, because there's no reason for ownership to put any pressure on a GM if their fans are happy paying money for a middling hockey team. Rant over.
I hear you. I mean, you got, when the core of that 2019 team, there's like nobody left, right? Except Bennington and a couple of others.
Oh, you know, but I have a frozen Dave. Oh. Dave, I lost you.
Can you hear?
I can't hear you.
Can't hear me?
No, now you're back. Oh, I was like, I hear you now. You were talking about something, win a franchise, and then.
What I was saying is the Blues in 2019, you know, the Stanley Cup champions, when a franchise kind of just jettisons all of the, when a franchise just jettisons all these people after at the highest of their high points. It kind of makes you wonder, like, what's really going on? Because, yeah, you guys come out in 2019, you win that cup and that epic run. And it's just like, wow, okay. I don't understand it either. You know, where's he had to have your finances in order at the end of that thing. But yeah, you look at the amount of talent that they lost, and they really, right. I mean, Kairu's the one who's kind of stepped to the forefront, but
which he should. He was very much put out there as the future of this team. Like, he really was. And I agree with that. I agree keeping him and doing what you can to keep him. But what did you surround him with? What did you keep around to keep this team good and relevant? Honestly, we clung to Tarasenko too long. Like, we should have let Tarasenko go after we won the cup because he didn't want to stay.
Tarasenko was like, I think, you know, he got you guys to the playoffs that year. You kept saying he's going to get traded. And it just didn't really happen.
Well, he wanted to be traded. The Blues didn't want to trade him. I tip my cap to him for continuing to play. You know, he could have been a brat and a bully and just sat, you know, and pouted and not played. But he still went out there day in and day out and gave the Blues his best in that cup run.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Blues are a playoff team. You know, beyond that.
Maybe?
I think so. I mean, I think they've got enough. They seem to be, you know, middle of the road.
I don't know. We're 5-4 with 26 goals for and 26 goals against. Like, we're literally a middling team. And I just saw a difference. So last Tuesday, which was all 32 teams playing 16 games all day, Blues drew Winnipeg. Winnipeg won that game 3-2, but you could just see it. They hit different. They played different. Blues are okay. The Jets, I think we gotta say the Jets are good.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Jets are really good. Like, not on my bingo card when, you know, at the beginning of the season, but they're not just winning. They're at plus 20 goal differential so far. Like, they show up and they aren't just winning. They're generally killing people. And their goaltending has been terrific as well, because their goaltender, Connor Hellebuyck. No, there's no R in there. No, there's no R in there.
Hellebuyck.
Hellebuyck. Hellebuyck.
We'll go with that. Buick. That sounds something good.
Yeah. Like, that dude is second in goals against average. He is second in save percentage behind Frederik Andersen of the Carolina Hurricanes. Like, he's off to a hot start. He's playing very, very well. And that has a lot to do as well. But when you can't score and your goalie isn't letting people score, like, duck and cover, kids.
I will take it a step further and say, one of the biggest problems that the Blues are going to have is the Central Division is a murderer's row. And you look at the top three teams: Winnipeg, undefeated; Dallas, 7-2. Minnesota, only one regulation loss, and they're really good. The Wild are flying under the radar. They're really good. Then you got down at the bottom, Colorado, who we know is going to make a move eventually. And even Nashville started to win. So the Central is a really tough division. But yeah, like you're saying, Winnipeg is off to a great start. But like I said, I think it was last week or the week before, I forget which one, we talked about the Jets. And it's all great, but they are like the West version of the Toronto Maple Leaf. Fine. You guys dominate the regular season. What can you do in the playoffs? And they always come up short in the playoffs. Like, last year, I thought that was their chance, and Edmonton just bitch slapped them. So it's great. They're off to this great start. Hellebuyck, or whatever you want to pronounce it, is the best goalie in hockey at this point in time. Although, you know, Shesterkin, I'm sure, is going to say something about that before it's done. But yeah, Winnipeg looks really, really strong. 8-0 is a hell of a good start. I mean, that's the start where you're just like, well, they're, you know, playoffs is almost a lock at this point.
Playoffs,
yeah.
Well, let's not go that far.
If they go on a 10-game losing streak, that would be.
Because this is Winnipeg in a place where we haven't seen them. I'm sure, here, I'll throw a wrestling reference in there for you. Chris Jericho must be. That's just.
Yeah, exactly. He must be very happy about the whole thing.
The thing that I find really interesting right now, so far early in the season, the Pacific is kind of just doing Pacific things, though Calgary kind of being a little upstartish with their start. But Vegas is doing Vegas things. The Kings after a slow start last year, have really gotten off to a great run this year. Surprised about the Kraken at 4-4? Kind of, again, no. Kind of played some middling hockey, no? Are you still worried about Edmonton? Edmonton, it's tragedy.
I'm not worried about Edmonton. You know, things are starting to shake out. I think they're playing defense too loose, and it's the regular season, and that's fine. But, you know, Vancouver is another one of these teams that we kind of were wondering what was wrong with them. But when you look at their record, they're 4-1-2. So they're right in the thick. But like you said, Calgary's the team I didn't expect to be, you know, where they are right now. And maybe they're riding some of the emotion from the Johnny Gaudreau tragedy as well, even though he hadn't played there in 2 years. But he was, of course, a lot of the tributes to him was coming out of there. So maybe there's some emotional stuff going on and they're playing inspired hockey. But it's when these Canadian teams are doing well, it's just good for the sport overall. So I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge Calgary doing something. The Kings are good. You know, I think the Kings.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, I don't see them beating Vegas or Edmonton when it really counts, but they're going to be a thorn in the side of these teams for a while.
Yeah. I wonder, do you think Winnipeg, I'm going to go back to Winnipeg, and I know I'm talking about Winnipeg a lot today. Does Winnipeg have enough to win a Stanley Cup?
I haven't seen it yet. I mean, that's the honest answer.
Seen it or seen them?
I haven't seen it yet from them. I've seen enough of Winnipeg the past few years to say that they are very much like the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like I said, you got to show me, you got to prove that you can. And even when the Toronto Maple Leafs did that, when they finally won a playoff series, they just went and got boat raced the next round by Florida a couple years ago. So,
right.
Yeah, Winnipeg's got to, you know, they got to get that first playoff series win under their belt and really kind of show that they've learned something from that. They probably need to add some veteran pieces more towards the trade deadline because I'm sure they're going to be in the mix. Can they win a Stanley Cup? If Hellebuck stays healthy and keeps playing like he is, yes, they can. But as you know, when we get down to it, the playoffs are all about the intangibles and weird things and puck luck and just who gets hot at the right time. Is there a hot goalie? He's certainly one of these guys who can carry them all the way. But with Winnipeg, it's just like, I haven't seen it yet. I've not seen anything from you guys to show me that you know how to win when it counts.
All right. Question number two for you. And this is how we'll round out the show. I'm going to give you four bottom half teams. And I want you to tell me which bottom half team you think is more likely to make a run and not be at the bottom half by the end of the season. I'm going to give you one from each division. All right. Okay. So I'm not going to give you the Bruins. That's too easy. We're going to say Ottawa at 4-3. We'll do the Islanders, Colorado, or Edmonton. Those four bottom halfers. Who makes the run and we're not talking about as a bottom halfer by the end of the season?
I'll go with Edmonton. And I will do that because I think the Pacific Division is going to be the easier division to make up ground in. And Edmonton will eventually start taking defense seriously. You know, I think there's still some hangover from that epic Stanley Cup final that they're still dealing with to come that close, to fight that hard, to get back and just run. And we remember that series. They just ran out of gas at the end, you know, because they'd fought so hard to get back. So I think there's still some of that. And you would say, well, Jesus, they're off for 4 months. How can they still be fatigued? Emotionally, there's still that fatigue level. There's still that mental fatigue level that I think, even if you're physically ready to go. So I think that's kind of why they're off to a slow start. But I do think Edmonton will do what they did last year. They will catch fire. They'll go on some big runs of, you know, winning 8, 9, 10 games in a row. Calgary's probably not going to be able to keep at this clip. You know, you look at the teams in front of Edmonton. Anaheim's no, they'll pass Anaheim with no problem. Seattle is iffy. Vancouver is going to be tough. But I just think, you know, when you compare the Pacific and where a team can make a move versus, you know, Colorado is going to have to leapfrog Utah, St. Louis, Minnesota, Dallas, and Winnipeg. And we already talked ad nauseum about Winnipeg, Dallas, and Minnesota. So Colorado maybe at this point with this kind of start stuck at a wild card spot. So I'm really looking at Edmonton saying that's the team I'd watch out of those four that can make the move. What do you think? I'll put it to you.
Well, you took my answer. So, I mean, I would have picked Edmonton as well. I do think Colorado still has the firepower offensively to make a run. You know what I mean? Like, I think that they, you know, they're not defending well at all right now. But, you know, Cale Makar is amongst the league leader in points already. They need some of their other guys to get it together and get moving. So, all right, Dave. Well, that's going to do it for this week. We'll have to see how things, we'll see if I haven't given up on hockey. I promise I won't rant about the Blues next week. I solemnly swear not to rant about the Blues next week. Before we get out of here, though, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the socials and on the Chairshot Radio Network?
Yeah, you can find me on the socials at AttitudeAg. That is at AttitudeAgg on X. Facebook.com/AttitudeOfAggression and at AttitudeOfAggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
You can follow me on the X Twitter at WrestlingRealist. That is at WrestlingRealist. Catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on the Chairshot Radio Network. Monday talking nerdy stuff with Dave, PC Tunney, Ray Cash, sometimes the scientist DPP, all the gang there. Tuesdays, I'm talking hockey with Dave, and Wednesdays, I'm talking wrestling with one Greg DeMarco on the Greg DeMarco Show. Folks, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Hockey Talk. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Hope to catch you all next week. This has been Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.